This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX. John Agorny in the morning.
Good morning.
And a happy new year to everyone out there.
Happy, happy, happy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, right?
Yeah. When is that from?
It's from Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah. Haven't heard from them in a long time.
I know.
What are they up to these days?
Well, Chris Felucci was the animator. And he was very controversial with those animations and other cartoons that he was a part of. I think he did kind of a Batman cartoon as well, which really was bizarre. The main villain in it was the cow. But
Ren and Stimpy was really ahead of its time.
It was.
For
it was
bizarre just, cartoons.
Yes, very bizarre. Yeah. Nothing was drawn like that ever, and not since either. I don't know why. They actually just kicked them off. They took the show off. Yeah, it's happy, too outrageous.
They had that song, "Happy, Happy, happy Joy, Joy,
Joy, Joy."
That was good.
Yes.
So Happy New Year to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
here we are, first show of the new year. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing well. Little low on sleep from staying up late on New Year's.
Yeah.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah, not here.
Well, you went to bed early?
Oh, sure.
What?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't handle it. You know, I mean, you get up 4:30 in the morning and you have to stay up till midnight for what exactly? I don't know. You know, I don't feel any different. Nothing happens really that is different. So, I mean, what is...
You didn't want to watch Ryan Seacrest with Dick Clark's
Countdown? Oh, yeah, that's
Countdown.
What I should have watched.
He's been doing that 20 years.
You know. Oh, my God,
it was his 20th year. They still call it the Dick Clark Countdown or whatever.
Yeah, well, in tribute, I...
Okay. In tribute for Dick having a TV show
forever.
About New Year's
forever.
Eve.
The guy was ageless.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, well, anyway, I stayed up late. I went up to Baraboo and saw a bunch of old friends up at the wine bar that I used to hang out at.
Yeah.
Konamichi. Yeah, it was a fun time.
Got wiped out, huh?
Yeah,
totally drunk.
No, I maintained. I was
You know
fine.
What you have to because of your health.
That's right.
Yeah. I hear you had a little bit of a hard time getting in. The bouncer like threw you out the door and you had to sneak in the back.
Okay, there was no bouncer, first of all. It was a private, I was told it was a private party, but we can, you know, come on up anyway. It'll sneak you in.
Yeah.
And I got there and I said, yeah, come on in. It's $25. Okay. I guess I'm not getting snuck in. I'm paying the regular fee.
Well,
so,
fine. It sounds so celebrity-ish, doesn't it?
I mean,
this popular morning guy in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And they want you in there, but, you know, they don't want you in there that much. $25.
That's right. And it wasn't packed or anything, but it was a good crowd.
Yeah.
And it's a small, you've been there. You were there once.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Very nice intimate,
yes,
by the way.
Yeah. Yes. It was fun. Fun times. They had a duo. My friend John Swami was playing guitar, along with Susan, his singer, and then they had a couple of DJs playing some dance music up until, you know, the midnight hour.
Oh, God.
And a little beyond.
You know, I can just see you out there again.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was dancing.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
No, you don't dance at all, do
no,
you?
No, I don't.
You went to the Christmas party last year, and you did not dance.
I have advice for you. Don't dance, okay?
What? I've been told I have all the moves.
You do have all the moves. I agree.
Sam, are you a dancer? You and Sophia?
I am the clumsiest dancer around. You know, I cannot dance.
You know, the idea of dancing is not to get from point A to point B. It's not a logical thing. It's just to get out there and, you know, move with the rhythm. Have a little fun.
I suppose. It's got to be the right rhythm.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be music I like. I can't dance to just some random beat.
Well, what do you think they're going to play on New Year's Eve? They're going to play dance music. I mean, everybody can dance,
but you know, it's,
on New Year's Eve.
It's really, you know, bad music. Yeah, it's stuff you hear all the time. It's just,
what kind of music would you dance to, John?
It's just party music. It's the same stuff they play all the time, and everybody dances to it because it's the same kind of dance music.
You haven't stayed up for a New Year's Eve in probably 30 years.
That's true.
So you know,
I saw you at the party we had last year,
right? Yeah, and.
What party was that? It was that Christmas party, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
At Chula Vista?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, everybody was there. We're having another Christmas party. We're having it in a couple of weeks.
We are. It's a late
Christmas party.
It is.
Yeah. It'll be here. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It is.
In Madison.
It is.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I think they'll be dancing there.
And?
There'll be food.
And there won't be dancing there because no one wants to dance.
Oh, okay. All right.
Really? You're going to do that too?
No, there's not. Actually, I don't know if there's going to be any dancing, but there'll be a lot of fun. Okay.
Sugar River Pizza is going to
provide the food. Yeah, I think they're going to help us out.
Provide the food.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
All right.
Catering. Okay. Well, let's get into the national. Oh, wait a minute. First, weather wise.
We're kind of relaxed here this morning.
It's cold. I'm trying to get back in the swing of things.
I know. What do we do now?
Oh, yeah. It's weather. Mm. It's cold out there this morning.
Yeah, it
is. Got a cold snap going on.
Yep.
It's 20 degrees currently. The high temperature this afternoon. Let's get out the weather roulette wheel.
Well, could we?
And spin it for the very first time of 2025.
This is fantastic.
Oh, boy.
I feel lucky.
Where's it going to land? Oh, 27 is our high today. Red 27.
Red 27. Yeah.
That's it.
I do like red 27.
A mix of clouds and some sunshine today. National day calendar. Here we go.
You know, I got to say that this National Day calendar thing.
Yeah, we're not going to do it anymore?
No, we love it.
Okay. Well, what do you want to say about it?
It's like dance music.
Okay. Is it National Cream Puff Day? Is it National Personal Trainer Awareness Day?
Mm-hmm.
Is it National Science Fiction Day? National Buffet Day? Or National Cell Phone Day? Which day is it? Or not? Which day is it not?
It's not National Cell Phone Day. I put my cell phone on the tabletop here. Yeah. And you looked at it.
It is not National Cell Phone Day. You get a shiny new dime. Look, you're up a dime already.
Just a
for
shot.
2025.
Yeah, I'm way ahead this year.
It is National Cream Puff Day. When was the last time you had a cream puff, John?
I can't really remember.
Okay, it's dessert pastry lovers alike to celebrating the delicious French creation of the National Cream Puff Day, I guess.
I've had eclairs, but, you know, it's not a cream puff. Close.
These originated in France. Cream puffs are also known as... Oh, boy. Something I can't pronounce. Profiteroli. I don't know.
No, that's a good try. It sounds just like it.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Cream puffs. Well, you look at this word. All right.
No.
You read that word.
I have this ability to speak other languages.
Profiteroli? Profiteroli?
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right.
That's a good one.
Congrats, Gordy.
Prefatore.
But
you have to say it really fast with a. a French.
Okay.
All right.
Sharing cream puff dream. Vision. Okay. Enough about cream puffs. Nobody cares.
Well, you know, the state fair has those cream puffs. I mean, that's the last time I actually had a cream puff. It was at the state fair, and I can't remember when that was, what decade it was.
Okay. It's National Personal Trainer Awareness Day.
Wow, so we all have a personal trainer.
Oh, sure. National Science Fiction Day. Let's find out what this is kind of cool.
Yeah, this sounds like a good one.
Yeah, promotes the celebration of science fiction as a genre, its creators, history, and various media, too. Let's see. Millions of science fiction fans across the U.S. read and watch their favorite science fiction things. Yeah. University professor of biochemistry, Isaac Asimov. Mm-hmm. He's kind of known for his works in science fiction and one of the first authors in that genre.
Yes.
Do you have any favorite science fiction movies or, books or anything like that?
I have, science fiction, a lot of TV shows are based on a lot of novels.
Okay.
A compilation show.
Short stories such.
Yeah. Rod Serling did most of his work, his own work there, but other shows were similar to that.
Mentions the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone was, what is it?
One Step Beyond? That was another
one. Beyond was a good one, but Outer Limits.
Outer Limits
used all those science fiction novels prior to that, and they just, they were good shows.
Yeah.
I think he even wrote a few in that show.
There's a few others here that came along a little bit later. Doctor Who, of course, that was a big one. Battlestar Galactica, The X-Files, Star Trek, of course. Yeah, so we salute all the science fiction stuff.
There was something I watched last night, and I can't remember what it is. I'm looking through my history here. It had to do with Star Trek.
It was just last night. You can't remember it?
Well, it had a special title. It was a special presentation of James Kirk meeting Spock again in a regenerative process. If you remember one of the movies where, the entire planet, a dead planet became
alive again.
Yeah, because I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I do remember that.
But this was a takeoff on that, and it was really moving. And shed a tear or two, not me. I was just waiting. I was actually waiting for the end of it. I didn't know that was the end.
Oh.
But, I guess it was good. I'll come up with the name of that so everybody can check it out on YouTube. Right. Actually, you check it out on YouTube. I don't have it in my history, oddly.
Okay.
Don't know why.
That's sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, though. But when you find out the name of it, let us know.
I have it here.
Okay.
It's called Unification. So, yeah, that's why you couldn't remember it.
It's not really.
What does that have to do with anything?
Catchy name.
Yeah, Unification 4K, and it is a special title. It's 765874.
Well, how are you supposed to remember?
Okay. That's the, all you have to do is plug that into YouTube. 765874-Unification.
Okay.
And you can check it out. It's very interesting.
All right, thank you. It's also National Buffet Day, and we will get to the history items for today and some birthdays when we return
with
the very first show of 2025, John and Gordy in the Morning.
Thank you.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, 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 happy, happy, joy, joy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. Now, I mentioned a little science fiction thing here, the latest one. Its unification has to do with Captain Kirk and Spock. Kind of a new version. It's very short. But I think the easiest way to find this is to go to the site that presents this particular video. And it's called OTOY, O-T-O-Y, OTOY.
OTOY.
Yeah. Look that up. Look for a site on YouTube, and that video will be there. It's kind of hard to remember 765874 unification. But if you go to OTOY, it's right there.
Unification.
On his opening page, and you can check it out there.
Okay. Was William Shatner in this and Leonard Nimoy? And,
yeah, he was.
Really?
And I'm not sure if he actually appeared in it, if that was actually him now. I mean, he looks okay now, but I'm not quite sure it used his actual image. You know, he was there acting it out. I don't know. There were other images that were AI generated, but I don't know if his particular image was generated. So, okay. A lot of mystery there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get it. Thanks for sharing that again.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's,
I
for
think
Star,
it's important. Yes.
For Star Trek fans,
it is.
They would like to know about it.
Yeah, it's a very cool thing.
Okay. 23 past the hour. Time to open up the history book. Okay.
Oh, you know it.
All right. We've had a couple of days of dust. Here we go. Poor Sam.
We've actually closed the door in his room. Now he can suffer all alone.
All by himself.
That's what you want. You just want me to suffer alone.
That's right, man.
All right.
Oh, that history book. All right. Let's check it out.
What happened
on
this
date?
January 2nd. Yeah. What happened?
January 2nd, 1492. We're going way back.
1492?
Yeah. The Spanish Reconquista is finished.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. So... way back in the day, Spain was a Muslim country, and then some like small kingdoms in parts of Spain, like kind of banded together and took it back and turned it into a Catholic country, and it's still a Catholic country today.
All right.
And today, in 1492, the final holdout, the Emirate of Granada, fell to Spanish forces because they had cannons, and the Muslims didn't.
Okay.
Imagine being faced with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy
Damn
stuff.
It. Okay.
But that didn't have anything to do with the Knights Templar, did it? The Crusades?
Don't think so. I think that was a thing from out of Rome, mostly out of like the actual papacy. Yeah.
Well, they went across the Middle East, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm
that's
just
not going. Spain.
Well, how about the Spanish Inquisition? Did it have anything to do with that?
They spread out all over the place.
That's a good question, Gordy.
Okay, you don't know. All right.
We'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Today in 1839, Louis Daguerre, the guy who invented photography, he took the very first picture of the moon.
Oh.
It doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. The oldest surviving picture of the moon is from a year later, 1840, but Louis did it first. We'll remember him for
all
that.
All right. Okay. Well, that sounds great. Okay.
Fantastic.
Today in 1959, the Soviets launched Luna 1. It was the first man-made object to... what? What's so funny? What's so funny?
It doesn't matter.
You're wonderful. You're wonderful.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
The Knights Templar was before what you were talking about.
Yes.
And the Crusades had actually something to do with what you were talking about, a series of religious wars between Christians and Muslims.
Okay.
So
that might be it.
Trying to retake the Holy Land.
Yep.
But in the Middle East.
I'm just, you know, just checking your stories out.
Okay, well, what about the Inquisition? I'm still inquiring about the Inquisition.
I don't know. You've got a Google machine in front of you.
I don't. Okay.
All right.
There you go.
Keep going.
This is a funny thing here. From the Soviets in 1959, they launched Luna 1, which is the first man-made object to escape Earth's gravity, really. It wasn't in orbit. They shot it directly at the moon. It was a space probe meant to like see what the moon was made out of.
Mm-hmm.
Except they missed the moon.
Wow!
They completely missed the moon's gravity, and then it went straight into the sun.
Wow!
Well, it was their first attempt.
They had to try somehow.
Is it because of the gravitational pull of the sun on the device?
Perhaps.
Probably that, but it's also probably because the sun is pretty big and it's kind of hard to miss.
Okay. Well, you know, if the sun is in the background, you can hit
I suppose,
it.
Yeah.
If you're shooting in the other direction, you know, it's not there then.
It was a severe miscalculation on their part.
Yeah, they just missed. Just missed.
Okay. Last thing I got on the list today. Today in 1974, President Nixon signed the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit into law nationwide.
Wow.
What a momentous occasion that must have been.
Well, were you guys angry about that when it happened?
I was very angry about it.
Were you?
I was.
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, that Well, you know,
wasn't it to save
my world was
money,
my car,
save gas, money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if you're driving slightly slower, then you save quite a bit of gas.
Sure. Yeah. What about your car?
Well, I mean, it was the way I saw the USA. And it was a Chevy. It was a Chevrolet. I saw the USA and a Chevrolet.
Yep.
But, you know, wheels. It was my freedom. And, you know, all of a sudden they're taking away my freedom of going 60 or 65.
Was this before or after you rolled your Karmann Ghia?
This speed limit change was after I did that.
Ah.
But, you know, again, when I rolled my Karmann Ghia over in Albuquerque... Well, no, that's right. Deposited the car. Okay. It was in Texas in the Panhandle. But here's the thing. What happened was I was going slow, and they had road construction. And I was just pulling out onto the new highway that they put in.
Okay.
And there was loose gravel on the side. My retard caught it, and that was it. But anyway, look, I've told this story 1,000 times.
Yes,
I survived.
You have.
I survived.
You did survive. Well, back then, you know, out west, you could go like 85 miles an hour. Like, I mean, you know.
Yeah, out on most roads, you could. You actually could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't care. Yeah. All right.
But I was making a turn. You know, I wasn't going really fast.
It's etched in your memory forever, I know. 29 past the hour. Coming up next, we have our friends from Busted Pencils.
Yes.
Tim Slucker will be joining us on John and Gordy.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Of students, there's actually lots of students with STEM degrees that can't find work.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Wine, the only fancy French wine sold in a handy resealable cardboard carton. 49 cents a quart or 89 cents a gallon. Sure, you pay a few pennies more, but it's worth it.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is also brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's East Side or West Side, or just go to verlo.com.
From Busted Pencils, Dr. Tim Slucker is our guest again on Thursday morning, as usual. And Tim, welcome
morning,
to
Tim.
The program.
Happy New Year.
Good morning. Yeah. Good morning. Happy New Year to you guys, too.
I looked at your podcast that you dropped just a few days ago, and one is a look back at 2024 and also another podcast dealing with the prediction for 2025. So what did you look back on in 2024 that you thought was a momentous time? The news Ed department was going to be dissolved? Or
Well, in one way, you kind of frame it that way. It's, you know, looking back and then looking forward is kind of connected because the big look back was the election. I mean, it's just the reality, and the impact that, in one way, there was a kind of a sense of thinking like, okay, you know, maybe there's going to be something good happening, but then the realization that, not so much, but then realizing though too, and this is my really hardcore prediction is that. It's going to be a challenging next 4 years for public education people and advocates because never before has you pointed out, never before has there truly been a threat to the Department of Education like today that will be happening and the implications of that. I mean, you think about this, you know, Jimmy Carter just passed away and we have the Department of Education because of him. And right away, within those 4 years, 1980, Ronald Reagan gets, you know, elected with the idea of wanting to destroy the Department of Education 4 years after it was put together. And here we are now, what? Yeah, you know, and it's been kind of the Republican, you know, get me elected and we'll get rid of that Department of Education. Nothing's ever happened. But this time, I think, you know, we're really looking at this and saying, okay, if it doesn't get dismantled, we can see that it will be chopped up into pieces and its ability to do the work that Carter and the people imagined that it could do is going to be really shortchanged. And with that, there's going to be a national voucher bill. There just is. Whether it gets passed, who knows? But we were looking at the prediction on that. And I still think that, and this is tied to the look back, because even as much as Trump won, again, when we looked at vouchers on the ballot, they got beat handily all throughout the country. So it's going to be interesting to see when the implications of truly a 100, you know, a national voucher bill, if these communities say, no, we didn't want this, we didn't elect you for this, we know you told us you were going to do it, but we weren't really in favor of that. The look ahead, there's not a whole lot of excitement to look ahead to in that sense, other than the fact that I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Well, I agree with that. The thing with the with the Republican plans for the Department of Education is that it has more to do with accumulating data and gathering that information so state school districts all over can at least make some determination of what their students need or don't need, or how to improve teaching or not improve it. What I mean, whatever it is, that's what the Department of Education is supposed to do, and then also fund, college grants and tuition. Well, you know, tuitions. So I understand that is really what that department does. So dissolving it, breaking it up, doesn't seem to make any sense except to introduce vouchers.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that they really hate about the Department of Education is its ability to federally, enforce civil rights laws. And the reality there, too, is this comes back to the attack on DEI. And the Department of Education has the ability to really, leverage the intentions of trying to be inclusive, of trying to be diverse, of trying to, create an equality. And if you believe that some form of diversity is an insult, and that actually, as you hear Republicans saying, that's its own form of racism, then doing away with the Department of Education makes a lot of sense, because it is the one thing it does have is the authority of enabling, enacting, and enforcing civil rights laws.
Right. And since we know that affirmative action is no longer legal in the country, DEI would be the go-to formula, because it is diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's all it is. And for the Republicans to be able to sell the idea that that is negative or something bad is incredible, isn't it?
It's that you just said that, it made me think. It's like, okay, so the affirmative action is illegal, but being born to rich, wealthy, influential parents and getting into Ivy League schools, that's 100% still cool.
Yeah, that's right. I came up with my own acronym, UIE, and that is uniformity, inequality, and exclusion.
Yeah, and that's there. It is,
and that's what it's really all about now.
No, and it's going to be a tough haul. The potential, though, there too, again, to just kind of reemphasize the fact that there's going to be a push for national vouchers, And the reality that when vouchers were given at the local level to the voters and they were rejected handedly, I think this is going to potentially create, for me, a welcome friction within the MAGA movement that is really going to create some chaos. And you're starting to see some of that chaos even now with, with Vice President Trump and President Elon, the kind of going back on this, his word on some of these things and Elon, you know, pushing forward. It's just going to be a mess. I was almost going to say, you know, the poop show, but I didn't say it there because I know we're on radio.
Well, let's bring up the issue of engineering students coming into this country, or engineering individuals from other countries coming here on the H-1B visa. And that's something Elon is pushing heavily. Now, he's backtracked just a little bit, and he's suggested something that Biden was thinking about doing, and that is to raise the minimum wage for H-1B visas so it's not so much an incentive to bring them here into the country. Immigrants into the country, which, by the way, flew in the face of every MAGA out there who didn't exactly want that to happen. So now, so the engineering individuals that will be coming to this country working for less pay, and they've been doing that for 30 years.
Sure. Yeah, what a great thing. You know, you work really hard in some third world country to get your engineering degree and then get sucked into America here to get paid really crappy.
Yeah.
And then find out that if you worked at, you know, the local convenience store, you could actually do better. But the engineering, I mean, we really need to look at that and make some real sense of it, because if you study the national data on, quote, STEM and STEM education, the number of graduates in STEM fields across this country has accelerated increasingly. I mean, you know, to the point where there's actually lots of STEM graduates who can't get work in this country because there just hasn't been that number of jobs materialize for that. So even that is to say, it's like, you know, so are you really having a problem hiring American engineers, or is it the problem that you don't want to hire American engineers?
Mm-hmm. Talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, got a couple of texts here. One says from Matt in Middleton, says, look at Argentina to see where they want to go. 38% cut to the public sector, and they want to go much farther. Big cuts to the education system and colleges. Another text here from Mark, and he says it's public education that's going to be under assault. They blame for one thing, the Department of Education,
for reading scores declining.
Yeah.
It really hasn't changed much, actually, the reading scores throughout the decades.
It's, oh, in fact, though, when you talk about reading scores, there is a really interesting study that came out of Tennessee over the break that puts very, very, you know, right sharp in focus, you know, that they were able to get a voucher test score comparison to public schools, and the voucher schools in Tennessee, the students in voucher schools are actually doing a lot worse in reading. Mm-hmm. And in fact, now that what they're trying to do with that is say, we shouldn't have a law that requires us to compare test scores between private school voucher students and public schools. Yeah. Because, you know, it's a parent's choice. It's not about a better education the way we always thought it was.
Wow. Now that's a different angle. I did not see that one coming, but that kind of fit into what I was going to ask you next, is that because there's this push for vouchers, we're sending vouchers to schools that are unregulated.
Right.
You know, isn't that a kind of a red flag for most parents out there? Because, you know, if the regulated schools aren't doing as well, then sending them to an unregulated school is better. You know, what's the logic? What are they thinking?
Well, parents are always going to make the right choice.
That's right,
John.
That's right.
Jeez, come on. This is all about empowering parents to make their decision. And if they want to pick a crappy school, well, then that's just their right to do that, you know.
Yeah,
and we shouldn't be getting in the way of parents exercising their parental rights to pick crappy schools. No, you know what, though? And even on that one, they don't want to see those comparisons at all. And the reality is, as we keep pointing this out, is that in these expanded voucher states, again, 70 to 80% of the voucher recipients are students that are already in private schools to begin with. And so, you know, the idea that there that this has ever been about improving public schools and creating this kind of sense of going like, hey, if we lose students to those private schools, maybe we should get better. It's not about that. It's about redirecting money. And as I Josh Cowan out of Michigan State points out, this is a bailout of private religious schools by the government.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's what it is. Yep.
Yeah. And just let's be honest and call it that. And then potentially let's have a conversation about saying, should public monies be used to bail out private religious schools? That would be an interesting conversation. But we're not allowed to have that conversation.
Well, we're going to have to start that conversation. I think the other thing about the private schools is that it's an alternative to the public schools that they say are failing. So why not send your kid to a better school, supposedly, at least according to the brochures and pamphlets that they give out and their sales pitch, that they're much better. But in reality, they aren't that much better. They aren't better at all, in fact, through the testing anyway. And I think, you know, sending kids away from the public schools because they're not doing well is kind of is an escape hatch. They don't want to actually put money into the public schools, and we're seeing defunding of public schools in almost every state.
Yeah, you're seeing big defunding, and it's, you know, look at Arizona that has a total unregulated choice. The actually the cost now has far exceeded the amount of money they put in the budget to fund vouchers. And guess what? That over expense now is that they're going to reduce the public monies that go to public schools so that they can have enough money to fund the voucher scheme.
That's right.
We got to leave it there, Tim. Thank you for joining us this morning. The Busted
No Problem, Guys.
Podcast drops on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and they're live Saturday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tim, thanks again.
All right, guys.
It's a great show.
Thank you. That.
All right.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. I'm going to miss this show.
Yeah, it's
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
The air. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had their last season.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too bad. It could have gone on and on.
Yeah. Well,
I think you just got tired of doing it, Larry.
Well, you know, because now I'm going through the same Curb Your Enthusiasm moments in my life.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My wife constantly says, well, John, you know, that sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. My kids, the same thing. You know, I tell them a story that happens to me, and they go, wait a minute, that sounds like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Maybe you've seen a little too much of it.
Well, no, I mean, it's what we notice in life.
It's just
suddenly,
your life.
Suddenly we're stressed out. Even the little negative moments in our lives, we just kind of go a little bonkers with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry that you're going through this. Let me just mention that this—
Can you help me?
Not
Please
really.
Help.
I've tried for decades and it doesn't seem to be working. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go to online, verlo.com.
Right.
And, you know, ask about their lifetime guarantee on their mattress. Our phones are open right now, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. You can call us. You can text us. What's on your mind as we roll into the new year here?
Well, it wasn't a great roll into the new year because of what happened in New Orleans.
Awful.
I spent a vacation down there, so I kind of know what it's like, the layout down there. And when you're celebrating out in the street, and it happens every night. It's New Year's every night.
New Orleans. Yeah.
In New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And for this kind of thing to happen, you know, some guy who was suddenly inspired by ISIS, maybe you know, needed to read some different books or something. But you know, it's just strange to have a terrorist act like that happen now. You know, in such a extreme, horrific way. You know, there were videos out there, you know, showing the aftermath from unsolicited. You know, it's not news stories. And X put it out there. Now, normally they take those off. X used to take those things off when they were Twitter. But now they leave them out there. Elon is, I guess, you know, the purveyor of really, really horrific things that you can't unsee. So, you know, there's stuff like that out there, and it's just a horrible act.
It's awful.
And the senator that represents Louisiana, John Kennedy, oh, my God. You know, the thing is, when you listen to this guy, and there are X posts on this, everybody responds by saying he doesn't even have that accent in real life. So when you listen to this guy, what is it, Foghorn Leghorn? Right?
I say you got to... Yes, right? It's Foghorn Leghorn.
So you know, he doesn't
even
have...
You got a problem there, son.
People are saying he doesn't talk like this in real life, except when he goes on camera.
Then
he sounds like this this crazy guy. But here's a comment that he made about what happened in New Orleans. And at the very end, he sticks in something that I'm not quite sure I understand. So, Mark and everybody else, Dick, everybody that's listening out there, Joe, try to make some sense out of this because I'm baffled.
Maybe
it's not that important, but let's listen to it anyway.
Okay.
I will promise you this. I will, when it is appropriate and this investigation is complete, you will find out what happened and who was responsible, or I will raise fresh hell, and I will chase those in the federal government who are responsible for telling us what happened, like they stole Christmas.
Stole Christmas.
What is that? What?
Now, you know, he's going to chase the people in government.
Yeah.
Not the people that, you know, were responsible for maybe organizing this, is if it's a group of people. And he's going to blame government if they don't find the people.
And tell us the whole story.
Supposedly, right? I mean, they can make this into a conspiracy theory if they want. Mm-hmm. But Kennedy's already setting this thing up as a conspiracy theory. So you're going to hide something, I'm going to go after you, just like you did with when you stole Christmas? I'm not quite... Is that what he said?
Something like that.
Is everyone in government green and wearing a Santa suit now?
I know.
They're all green.
Is there a way you can play that, just the end part of that cut again? Let's start it up and go to the end of it. Let's hear how he
leads. Who are responsible for telling us what happened, like they stole Christmas.
Wow.
I think people were stunned. I don't think they understood what he was...
Yeah, there wasn't a follow-up question right away, was there?
Okay.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, my son spent a lot of time in New Orleans the last few years, and he was just down there about 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, you know, and I haven't been in a decade. I was there when I was a little kid, but were there.
Yeah, we spent a vacation there about 3 years
ago. And it is. It's like a party night,
right? It is.
On Bourbon Street
and
Canal Street, and that's where this horrible tragedy happened.
Yeah.
Got a text here from Anna of Madison. Happy New Year. In April, I went to New Orleans for the first time. New Orleans is a very interesting place. I enjoyed it. How sad we have to start the new year with this tragedy.
It's really awful. Yeah.
It's you know.
I mean, these people went down there, you know, on vacation
to
just have fun on the spur of the moment.
And the Sugar Bowl was supposed to happen last night.
Yeah, they
postponed
that
until tonight. Yeah. All right. 6:58. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking with Jim Santel, attorney at law. He spent some time with Jimmy Carter as an intern.
Yes, and we'll find out more about his experiences with Jimmy Carter.
Coming up on John and Gordy.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.